The deck of the French ship was slippery with blood, heaving in the choppy sea. A stroke might as easily bring down the man making it as the intended target. Lawrence did not have time in the heat of the battle to be surprised at the degree of resistance, but even through the numbing haze of battle fever and the confusion of swords and pistol smoke, he marked the extreme look of anguish on the French captain's face as the man shouted encouragement to his men. That's the first paragraph of His Majesty's Dragon by Naomi Novik. I'm Erica Ensign, and this is Recently Read. In the midst of reading lots of current books for award season, I decided I needed two things: a break and dragons. I've enjoyed both Uprooted and Spinning Silver by Naomi Novik, and I'd heard good things about her Temeraire series. Those good things proved to be true. The briefest description of this book could be the Napoleonic War with dragons, because that is exactly what it is. It's an alternate history in which dragons exist on Earth and have been bred and used in warfare for hundreds of years. I generally don't care for alternate history, but I really, really like dragons, so I decided to give this a shot. I'm glad I did, because I quite like these dragons. There are many different breeds of differing sizes and capabilities. Some do breathe fire, others acid, and all of them are deadly in the art of aerial warfare. The dragon at the center of this book is named Temeraire, and he enters the story shortly after the battle described in the first paragraph. The British captain, Lawrence, discovers the French frigate he has captured was carrying a large dragon egg, which is now England's. The complication is that it will hatch weeks before they can get back to land. This presents a problem, as the Air Corps is a very different branch of the armed forces. Dragon riders are trained from youth, and as they're a group apart, they're looked down upon by pretty much everyone else in not only the military, but society itself. The officers on the ship must draw lots to see who will attempt to harness the baby dragon. In the event, it is Lawrence that the dragon bonds with, which means he must leave the Navy and everything and everyone he knows to train for a totally new type of military profession. I enjoy a good fish-out-of-water story, and I'm not talking about Temeraire fishing for his supper until they can reach dry land. Lawrence is an officer and a gentleman, and his struggle to acclimate to the much more relaxed and informal world of the Air Corps and their dragons makes for an entertaining and engrossing read. That's easily the part of the book I liked best, besides the dragons themselves, of course. I enjoyed the thought Novik gave to just how dragons would be integrated, or not integrated, into society and warfare. Though it's the society angle that gripped me the most. It reminded me a lot of Anne McCaffrey's Dragon Riders of Pern books, in that the dragons and their crews provide a valuable service, but most of society looks askance at them. Also, how a dragon is able to speak immediately upon hatching, and bonds with its rider at that point. Although it's not the same type of deep telepathic bond as in McCaffrey's books, these dragons can and do often take new riders when required. And a certain type of dragon only bonds with women, which is a nifty way of working some very modern gender politics in. Well-respected and easily accepted female captains are just as cool as the dragons, and compared to the contemporary society at large, they kind of feel just as fictional. Speaking of contemporary society, the language in this book feels like a throwback to that time. It is very formal and occasionally florid. I am impressed by Novik's ability to write in this voice while still keeping it fairly accessible to a modern reader like me, someone who doesn't always go in for period-style writing. Though I will say the stiff formality, the language and phrasing did slow me down a bit. It was a minor added layer of difficulty that I mostly didn't mind overcoming in order to get through the story. The bigger obstacle to overcome for me was the fact that, in the end, this is a war novel. I enjoyed the beginning of the book much more than the latter part. I liked watching Lawrence learn the ropes and deepen his friendship with Temeraire, but eventually they've been trained and it's time for them to go into battle. Even in visual media, battle sequences bore me, so while the battles here are well-written, well-thought-out, I found myself drifting toward the end. I'm not honestly certain I will continue with Throne of Jade, the next book in the series, as I suspect that book will be even more war novel-y than His Majesty's Dragon, but I am glad I picked this one up and made the acquaintance of these lovely dragons. I'm Erica Ensign, and this was Recently Read.